No doubt you hear it all the time. Studying the Bible is boring. Or how about this one? I'd like to read the Bible, but I never understand what it's talking about. Well, welcome to Through the Bible. You've hopped on the Bible bus at just the perfect time, since we're at the beginning of a new 5-year journey through the whole Word of God. So how do you answer that question? Is it possible to understand the Bible? Well, we find a clue in David's 119th Psalm that says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Dr. J. Vernon McGee, our teacher, gives us more insight into how to understand Scripture today. In fact, we'll hear about his 7 principles to help you study the Bible. But first, Greg and I have got a quick update on the travels of our world prayer team.
Yeah, Steve, this week we're in Northeast Asia, and each week our world prayer team travels through a different region of the world, and then each day we focus on a different country. And we're focusing today, we want to talk about Mongolia. Mm-hmm. This is a fascinating country, and we know that we are often getting lots of new listeners on the Bible bus. Some of you have said, Greg and Steve, you're always talking about Mongolia.
Yeah.
Well, why is that? What's so exciting about Mongolia?
Well, first of all, the church there as a whole, it's a very young church.
Yes.
So the air quote elders are in their 30s and early 40s now at this point. So they need solid Bible teaching. Who doesn't need solid
yes.
Bible teaching? But
particularly
they need it especially. And Bat Jargal,
Choshen Singel,
who helped us with the translation of the program and then to get it on the air. Radio makes a lot of sense in that part of the world,
yes.
the way they've implemented it. And it's been very successful in discipling the church and bringing people to the Lord.
Yeah, back in the late 80s, they only knew of a handful of believers. That's what you're talking about. And then in the 90s and the 2000s, and now today they're talking anywhere from, 60 to upwards toward 100,000 Christians. And so we're excited because really God is doing something new. I mean, missiologists have said that nothing in the last quarter century compares around the world to the birth of the brand new church in Mongolia. And so strategically, we said, let's be there giving these new baby believers the whole Word of God, as you pointed out rightly, training the elders. And I've been there many times. You've
yep.
been there on a visit. It's quite an interesting country, isn't
it? Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, you got Ulaanbaatar, the main capital, the main place where people live, and it is a Mongolian would disagree. It is a dirty, polluted, crowded city.
And it actually means Blessed Valley. That's the name of what the name means.
But it doesn't
look that
they
blessed.
Burn everything
yeah.
from plastic
yes.
bottles to paper cups in the winter just
yeah.
to stay warm. And it sits in this valley. It's a very difficult place to live in the wintertime. Beautiful in the summer
yes,
when I was there.
Correct. Yeah.
Different in the wintertime. And then you have really a nomadic herdsman population around the rest of the country. And we're going to read a couple letters. One is from someone in a remote area like that. I think they reference tending their herd while
yes.
listening to the
yeah.
program.
About half the country is wandering around tending and living in what are sometimes called yurts or gurs, which are these sort of circular tent-like structures.
Yeah.
But let's get to the letters.
Absolutely. So our first letter is from Anudari. Now, this is an 11th grader. Here's what
Love
they
it.
Say. My friend invited me to her Christian church, but due to the pandemic, the churches were closed. I discovered your program is aired on Family Radio FM 104.5 when I was in my mother's car. I liked it so much. The presenter always persuades and encourages me to do something new or keep going consistently and stronger. Currently, I follow and pray with the presenter's prayers. I try to take notes on everything I've been hearing and studying from the biblical lessons. After the quarantine period, I will visit your station and show my notes. Thank you so much. Like a good student.
That's so precious. And Steve, I just have a very strong memory of being in Mongolia and Bat Jargal, Toshin Sengel, driving me to church and not knowing where it was. And I said, Bat, why don't you know where this church is? And he said, because we have to move locations. An individual church doesn't get to meet the same place every week. And so think of the stability of you can always go to 104.5 on the FM dial and hear through the Bible.
Yeah.
Now here's another one. Myagmar says, I live in the Bulgan province. There are 21 provinces in Mongolia, and he lives in the Bulgan province. He goes on, I have been married for 15 years. We have 8 stepchildren. I am a usual herdsman. I try to listen to your programs when I have the opportunity. Sometimes I listen on the livestock pasture. While listening to your teachings, I try to implement something that I've been studying. Lately, I've been learning about having a humble character and Christian people's wrong attitudes. I now pray constantly and ask the Lord to guide me. May God abundantly bless you and your ministry.
Again, such an encouraging couple of letters. Let me pray for us as we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray for the ministry in Mongolia, that you would continue to bless it, that you would continue to move in people's lives like these listeners, that they might grow in their understanding of Scripture, that they might come to faith in Christ if they haven't yet placed their trust in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back again today to our series that we're opening our five-year program with. And today we move from looking at the book, that is the Bible. Now we are turning to guidelines for the understanding of the Scriptures, for the understanding of this book. And I put down all this other's preliminary statements that might be helpful to us in the study of the Word of God. And as we're getting underway in this five-year program, I must confess that there is an element of fear and trembling as we enter into this program. And this is a tremendous responsibility. Added in that is also our foreign broadcasts. There are not as many of them, but they go out on such powerful stations that we are actually reaching, or can reach, 3/5 of the population of the world. This is a tremendous responsibility, friends, and our faith is that we believe that if God wants us to continue, He'll provide support. And we do look to our friends who believe that the important business of the church today and of a believer today is to get out the Word of God to the world. I frankly don't think we have time to put up all of these magnificent buildings that the church is putting up today and having names included in it. Let's get the Word of God out and get the name of Jesus into places where it's not known. What a tremendous opportunity we have. Now, we want to look at actually some guidelines, 7 to be exact. And I'd like to open today with this scripture, which we opened with before. The scripture I want to begin with is Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And when the psalmist wrote these lines, of course, he had in mind the Mosaic system primarily. But we widen that out to include the 66 books of the Bible and can say today, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the Bible. And so with that thought in mind, we look at these guidelines. Now, there are certain guidelines that each of us should follow relative to the Word of God. You may want to add to these, but I believe that the ones we're mentioning are basic and primary. And I'd like to put it like this. I guarantee that if you follow these guidelines, blessing will come to your heart and your life. Certainly, there should be these directions in the study of Scripture. Today, for instance, a bottle of patent medicine, no matter how simple it might be just a tonic, or it might be something for a cold. It has directions for the use of it. I even noticed that a bottle of aspirin has on it directions. And any little gadget that you buy in a 5- and 10-cent store, and I must pause to say that probably is no misnomer today, like the 5- and 10-cent store. You can't find anything in there that sells anymore for 5 and 10 cents. It's generally up in the dollar bracket today, but any gadget that you buy there always has with it directions for its operation. I know that I bought my daughter, when she was a little girl, a toy. And it had with it directions. You had to assemble it. And I took it out to give to her, and I thought, well, I'd put it together. And I want to tell you, friends, I never got into a thing as complicated as that was, and the directions were right there with it, not only directions, but pictures. And even with all of that help, I had my problems. Well, if things in this world today are like that, then certainly the Word of God needs directions in order to read and to study it. A Word of God should have a few directions and a few instructions on the study of it. Now, I'm going to mention 7 very simple yet basic preliminary statements that will be a guide for the study of the Scriptures, and we're going to attempt to follow them. Well, let me mention the seven to you. Begin with prayer. That's number one, and we're going to talk about each one of these. Second, read the Bible. Third, study the Bible. And fourth, meditate on the Bible. And fifth, read what others have written on the Scriptures. And now the sixth one is obey the Bible. Obedience. That is all important. Now, number seven is pass it on to others. Someone has put it in this very brief, cogent manner. The Bible, know it in your head, stow it in your heart, show it in your life, sow it in the world. Well, that's another way of saying some of the things that we are going to talk about here. Now, the first one, and we come back to it, is begin with prayer. Bible is different from all other books. That is the thing we've attempted to emphasize when we've been talking in the past few studies we've had together when we've talked about the book. This book is different, and you cannot come to it and bring to it just mental acumen. You have to bring to it humility that will permit the Spirit of God to be your teacher. And so it's necessary to begin with prayer. I always felt in college, and a college student gets the impression that he knows everything, that I could learn anything that any man had ever written. I didn't care what it was and what field it was. If he wrote it, then I could understand it. And I'm of the opinion that several of us in college at that time had that viewpoint, and that's the way we approached every book and everything. Well, that's very fine, I suppose, for a college student, but when you get as old as I am now, you ought to have more sense and to know that there are many things you don't understand. Now, I do believe that whatever any man has written, another man can understand it. But that's not true of the Bible. The Bible is different. The Bible is a closed book. As we've said, since the Holy Spirit is the author, only the Spirit of God can teach us and make it real to us. And that's the reason when we begin in the book of Genesis, we always begin with prayer. We don't have it at the end of the program. We have it at the beginning of the program because we recognize that we need the Spirit of God to be our teacher. And the Bible, therefore, is different from all other books. When Sir Walter Scott was dying, he said to his servant and his secretary, "Bring me the book." And the secretary looked just a little puzzled, and he looked at the shelf of books that Walter Scott had written, and he wondered which one he intended for him to bring. And he asked, "Which book?" And Walter Scott is said to have replied, "The Bible. There's only one book for a man when he's dying." And I believe that is true. But it's the book for any man who's dying, but it's also the book for any man who's living. I'm afraid a great many folk do not get interested in the Bible until they get to the end of their lives or until they get in a great deal of difficulty. And it's wonderful to have a book you can pull down at a time like that and find comfort in it. But it's a book for you to live in the full vigor of life. It's a book to face life with today. And it's the book which furnishes the only sure route through this world and on into the next world. It's the only book that can enable us to meet the emergencies and to cushion the shocks that come to us in life. The Bible is different, and it's different from any other book. Now you will notice that it is called Holy Bible. Actually, the word Bible simply means book. There's a little town in ruins north of Beirut in Lebanon, which is called Byblos. We spent several hours there, and the reason that I did, I wanted to get pictures of that place. It's a famous place called Byblos, that is the book. That's where books were first made. And we're told that it is the place where the Bible got its name. You see, they called it in that day the book. All other books were just books, but the Bible was the book. And then someone down the line put on it the Holy Bible, or Holy Bible. And I personally believe that it is inspired from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelation. And you know, I sometimes feel that that name on the outside, Holy Bible, is inspired also. May I say that's what it is? Now, this is a book, therefore, that differs from all other books. It's different in this sense. The Holy Spirit alone can open our minds to understand it. Now, you can take up a book on philosophy, and if a man wrote it, and he did, then a man can understand it. You can read a book on higher mathematics, and since a man wrote it, a man can understand it. There's not a book that ever has been written by any man that another man cannot understand. But again, I keep repeating it, the Bible's different. The Bible cannot be understood unless the Holy Spirit is the instructor and He wants to teach us. The fact of the matter is, our Lord told us, He'll guide you into all truth. And we write over the guidelines for the Scripture, "Open thou mine eyes." That's a prayer. "That I may behold wondrous things out of thy word." Now, when the Apostle Paul was praying for the Ephesians, as we've already seen, he did not pray for their health, although I'm of the opinion he may have done that at another time. And certainly he did pray for that. And he did not pray that they might get wealthy. I don't know whether he ever did that or not. I know that in my ministry, I've made the mistake of praying for certain men that they would be successful in business and make money. And I've seen some of them do it. And frankly, I'm very sorry to have to report, in 9 cases out of 10, wealth turned them from being zealous for God. I had a man in Cleburne, Texas, and he had a ranch, and they began to drill oil. And he came and he said to me, "Preacher, you pray that we find oil. If we do, I'm going to give 1/2 of the revenue that comes in from oil to the work of the Lord." Oh, my gracious, you can imagine how this poor preacher, and it was during the Depression, how I really got down to business to pray. And then one day it occurred to me that it might be well to see if this man was giving a half of what he had time to the Lord. And I'm very sorry to have to report, friends, he didn't even give the Lord a tenth, and I don't think we're under the tithe at all, but it certainly could be made a norm for giving, and that man could have given a great deal more, and he didn't give it, and didn't give even a fraction, and yet this man was going to give the Lord a half. I came to the conclusion he wasn't going to do it. So I just quit praying that he'd find oil. And he didn't find oil, by the way. I don't know that my refusal to pray had anything to do with it or not, but I do know this. I'm really glad that he didn't find oil. I'm of the opinion, knowing the man, that he would have been turned from God. May I say to you, I saw a layman when I was pastor and have been pastor here in Southern California. I've seen several laymen that have lost their zeal for the things of God. Men that I found out I couldn't depend on. There was one man who came to me as he began a new business. And he said, "I'm going to support your radio." And he did for a while until he became very successful. And then he quit supporting radio. You think I'm going to pray for that man to be more successful in business? No, my friend. May I say to you, Paul did not pray that the Ephesians had become wealthy. Well, you say, well, what in the world did he pray for? He prayed this. He says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, what in the world is Paul going to pray for? Listen, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." That's Ephesians 1:17-18. Did you notice he didn't pray for anything physical? He prayed that they might have wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of him. That is, that the Spirit of God might be their teacher, opening the Word of God to their hearts and lives. And may I say this to you, and I'm saying it very sincerely and very candidly. I trust you will pray for this radio ministry. I trust you'll pray for the financial part, because I'll be very frank with you. We live in a very cold-blooded world today as far as business is concerned, and that even among Christians. You don't pay your bills today, you're in trouble. And we have to pay for radio, and we do depend on our listeners. Now, that's putting it just brutally frank, but that's the way it is. And I do encourage people to pray for the ministry. But let me tell you something most of all, and especially as we begin this five-year program, will you pray that this poor preacher might have his eyes open, and as we go through this book, that the Spirit of God might be the teacher? I confess to you very frankly, we're not going to get anywhere at all if the Spirit of God is not our teacher. This is a closed book, and it's the reason today that so many just don't get anything out of it. It's simply because they're not letting the Spirit of God teach them. Now, Paul makes it very clear that he was praying for that. And this is his first prayer for these people, that they might have a wisdom and an understanding of the revelation of the knowledge of him. And the revelation is in the book here. Now, he wanted them to know the Word of God. He wanted their eyes, their understanding, to be enlightened. And you will recall that he also said to the Corinthians that eye hath not seen. Therefore, your eyes got to be open if you're going to see it. And that your ear hath not heard. And it just can't come through the ear gate, even on the radio. And I have discovered this after quite a few years of being a minister. I find out that some people hear a message and they just turn the radio off. They say, that poor fella, he's not saying anything. Then somebody else, why, they find in it great blessing. What's the difference? Well, the difference has to be not in the message, because it has to be either one or the other. But the very interesting thing is it's both. To the man who said it was foolishness unto him, well, it was foolishness unto him. It actually was. And to the man, frankly, that it was a great blessing to his heart, well, isn't that what Paul said again to the Corinthians? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? That one person, he hears one thing, and another person hears something else. What is the difference? The difference is the fact that the Spirit of God is the one that does the teaching. And that's the reason we ought to always, before you begin the study of the Word of God, friends, you ought to begin with prayer. Ask the Spirit of God to open your heart, that you may hear the still small voice of the Son of God. May I say to you, makes all the difference in the world today. And again, we're handling a supernatural book. Don't forget that. It's human book. It's got in it all kinds of things that deal with us human beings, because it was written to us, and God wanted to communicate to us, and he gave us this, and he speaks our language. He speaks right to our hearts. He speaks to meet our needs today, and that's so important to see. Now, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says this. We've looked at this before. Let me read this in closing. Now ye have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, you see, that's the reason that the Spirit of God must be our teacher, because we could never know the things of God unless the Spirit of God were our teacher. And so until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
We'll continue tomorrow with the next of the seven guidelines. Until then, to find a resource to deepen your study of God's Word, visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, grateful for your company on the Bible Bus and your partnership in taking God's whole Word to His whole world.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?